Pastors and Wives Retreat, and Sotir was leading you on a really good study. Vivi and I have listened to it on spiritual gifts and unity. But we are back on our series of how we should be. So we have already looked at we should be compassionate, we should be kind, we should be humble. All those sermons are up on our church website, which is indicated in the bulletin, so you can listen to those if you haven't yet. The verse that those come from, that the series is really built on, is kind of slowing down and taking one by one the things of Colossians 3:12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So, for this week then, what we're going to be looking at is that we should be gentle. Next week, like we were just mentioning, we are going to have Adrian Devisser of Sri Lanka speak to us. So after that, we'll be talking about patience. So you just have to be patient to wait for that message. A little bit mild humor, but you're allowed to smile. For those who don't know, we have had a relationship with Adrian for a long time. And if you have not had a chance to meet him yet, it'd be good for you to know. Just, you know, in case conversation comes up that you know kind of how to talk to him. But his wife died a year ago, last August. Great lady. We loved her a lot. The congregation loved her. So you'll have to wait till heaven to get the chance to have the pleasure to know her if you didn't beforehand. Well, every once in a while, I like to ask a question. Sometimes I let you know that it's a rhetorical question where you're not supposed to answer. You're just supposed to have an answer in your head. But other times, I want you to answer out loud. I noticed that Sotir did that last week also. So call out your answer to this question nice and loud, because then it gets picked up on the recording as far as your answers. What do you think is the opposite, okay? What do you think is the opposite of being gentle with someone?
Harsh.
Okay, that's a common answer. I heard rude. Okay, so harsh, rude. Any others?
Abusive.
Okay.
Aggressive.
Okay. Any others?
Rough.
So I think that those are the primary ones. So now I have a question for you that you are not to answer out loud. Do you think like that sometimes?
Yes.
It just weighed on some people so heavily they felt like they had to answer. But that's okay, because I could answer for all of us, and I would say that I know that I do from time to times. Well, we're going to go ahead and start here as we think about we should be gentle. We're going to start with gentleness in Christ. We're going to look at it briefly, and even though we're going to look at gentleness in Christ briefly, we're going to come back to the idea later. So in Matthew 11, verse 29, this is in the God's Word translation, one of the simple English translations that I show you from time to time. This is what Jesus says there. Place my yoke over your shoulders and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble. Then you will find rest for yourselves. So a little bit of a different wording for a verse that many of us know. Here is a picture of a wooden yoke. Most of you know that this is the kind of thing that would be placed on an animal. Well, in Jesus' day, a rabbi would speak of a yoke poetically. It was, as really the New English Translation picks up on their note for this verse, they say that a yoke, when used by a rabbi, used here, it was used figuratively. Okay, it was used figuratively, poetically, of restrictions that a teacher or a rabbi would place on his followers. So that was kind of the yoke that they were to take upon themselves. So Jesus was calling for people to willingly submit themselves to his teaching. That was what they were to submit themselves to. So why should they do that? He says, because he is gentle and he is humble. So clearly, when you look at that, Jesus is making a connection. He's tying together gentleness and humility. Well, how exactly do those two things relate? If you were with us a few weeks ago, we looked at kindness, and you may remember that I said that kindness has its basis in goodness. In other words, I said that kindness is goodness in action. So what I'd like to say this morning is that gentleness is humility in action. Okay, should I say that again? Gentleness is humility in action. So when a person is humble on the inside, that person is then able to treat people in a gentle way. Or if we flip that and really put it in the opposite way, if a person is regularly harsh or rude or abusive or any of the other words that you stuck in, if a person is regularly that way, I believe that they have a problem with self-centeredness or pride. So Jesus is gentle and humble. Therefore, we can safely take whatever burden he has. Now, he may place on us a burden, but relatively speaking, it's easy and it's light. So the burdens of my own flesh, right, my sinful nature, the burdens of the world, those are much heavier in comparison. And as we go through life and we feel like the Lord is burdening us with certain things, it would be good for us to keep this idea of his gentleness in the back of our minds. By the way, I just want you to know that as we kind of go through this study, I recognize a lot of you know that I use a lot of different Bibles to compare as I prepare. As we go through this study, I want you to understand that all the verses that we're going to look at are a form of a particular word in the New Testament's original language. But in English, like depending on your Bible, the word might be translated gentleness, might be translated humility, might be translated meekness. And you may see that as we go along. But the fact that you can translate that one word as gentleness or humility shows how closely those two concepts are, how closely they're connected. So as far as Matthew 11:29 goes, the idea is that Jesus is saying he is humble on the inside, therefore he is gentle in his actions on the outside. So for all the verses we're going to see, remember this idea that gentleness is humility in action. Our focus is going to be this morning on how we treat each other. You know, what are the ways that we act toward each other? That's it. That's gentleness in Jesus. And now we're going to move on to gentleness in us. First thing to think about is, why is gentleness in us worth it? I mean, it's kind of strange to put it that way, but, you know, really, Lord, is it worth it for me to be gentle to others? We have these very simple, short words from Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. And by the way, this is a prime example of what I was just saying. So your Bible may say meek or humble instead of gentle. But again, this is this one original word and some different forms that we're examining. So Jesus is talking here about the treatment of others. It's the action idea. It's humility in action. That's gentleness. Why is being gentle then worth it? It's because the gentle will inherit the earth. So most understand this as a reference to what's coming, to Christ's physical kingdom on earth. I would say that I see that beginning with the 1,000-year reign carrying over into the new heavens and the new earth. Some would just say that latter part, that they see it as only the new heavens and the new earth. As I said a couple of weeks ago, God does use what we call nowadays positive reinforcement in the scriptures. So this is most definitely a positive for the gentle to look forward to. But is it really possible? Not really possible for followers of Christ to treat people in a gentle way? I mean, come on, there's gentleness in Christ, sure, but you know, he's the Messiah, he's Lord, but gentleness in believers, is that possible? So we're going to head to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Here is how that verse starts out. Now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The New Living Translation says, with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. So the reason that Paul could urge them by the meekness and gentleness of Christ was because Christ had placed those things spiritually in Paul. The gentleness in Christ is a result. This gentleness comes from him, and it's for those who follow him. So this is reinforced by something that we saw not too long ago. We were studying the letter to the Galatians. Chapter 5 had their list of the fruit of the Spirit. So what was one result? A lot of you already have the answer in your minds. But what was one result of having the Holy Spirit abide in us? We saw that part of the fruit is gentleness. And as I've said before, when it comes to this idea of the fruit of the Spirit, by means of the Holy Spirit, when a person then receives Christ at that moment of salvation, God then plants the seed of all of the fruit in us. So that means, believers do have the capacity. We have the capacity for being gentle with others. So we want to make a little bit of a distinction here and say gentleness toward others is possible, but there's something else in Scripture that we also need to recognize, and it's that we need to put forth effort so that seed that's been planted supernaturally in us then has that opportunity to grow in us. And although this is really true of everything that we've been talking about in Colossians 3, verse 12, we have this emphasis when it comes to put on, right? Put on gentleness. We have to regularly identify our lives with being gentle towards others. We're talking about that we have to make a choice. And eventually, I think it becomes a habit and it becomes easier, but it's something that we have to push ourselves to do. I want you to check out the words that the New English Translation has for 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. This is what Paul says to Timothy. But you as a person dedicated to God, keep away from all that, talking about sinful things. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faithfulness, love, endurance, and, there's our word, gentleness. Pursue gentleness. And that is a habit command as we look at the two different kinds of commands, ones that are urgent, ones that are meant to be kind of done all the time regularly. One of the things that Timothy was to regularly pursue was gentleness. So it takes effort. Now, if anybody's thinking in their mind, yeah, but you know, Timothy was the teaching elder. He was the pastor at Ephesus. Just remember that when it comes to the characteristics of elders, right? That's meant to be things that others in the congregation, the church family, would want to imitate. So the idea is that, yes, we know that we're regularly to identify our lives with being gentle, but then we should also push ourselves to pursue being gentle. So the point is this. All followers have Christ planting this seed of gentleness supernaturally inside of us, but treating others gently does not come automatically. It is an area where we're going to have to push ourselves in order to actually act that way. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Proverbs 11:2, and it contained this phrase, "With humility comes wisdom." Some of you remember that. We said that God will reward those who are humble by giving them wisdom. So with that in mind now, take a look at James 3:13. Who among you is wise? Understanding. By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done with gentleness that comes from wisdom. That's in the Christian Standard Bible. So what did Proverbs 11:2 say? With humility comes wisdom. And James is saying that then from wisdom comes gentleness. So humility, wisdom, gentleness. Earlier we saw that the Lord Jesus was tying those two together. This provides like a little bit of a middle step. So he tied together humility and gentleness, where we're now reinforcing that. Humility is on the inside. God rewards that with wisdom, and we could say that wisdom is on the inside, but wisdom is always meant to be practical. It's always supposed to be this application of God's truth. It's always meant to be fleshed out. And then one way that it's meant to be fleshed out is by demonstrating gentleness. Gentleness is humility put into action. Gentleness is the application of humility. So speaking of that application, we're going to go into our final section, which is gentleness applied. What does the New Testament say about applying gentleness to people, to situations? Toward the beginning, I was saying that we would come back to the idea of gentleness in Jesus, and we're going to do that now because it's going to help us to apply gentleness. What did Jesus say about himself in Matthew 11:29? I am gentle and humble. So he's making a true statement about himself. Jesus is gentle. So how are we to understand Jesus saying to the Pharisees in Matthew 12, "You offspring of vipers"? How are we to understand in John 8 when Jesus responds to these Jews that he was talking to who said that God was their father by saying to them, "You are of your father, the devil"? The answer is that being gentle doesn't mean being a milquetoast. And being gentle doesn't mean being gentle in all situations. So can we start to see the value that gentleness is coming out of wisdom? Because wisdom is going to help us to know, when do we use it? When do we not use it? What is the situation? What is this person is like? Because we need wisdom when dealing with people, true? In order for us to know whether it's the right response. Before we deal with some specific cases that Scripture talks about in treating others, we're going to actually look inside ourselves. I want us to kind of put that magnifying glass on ourselves, do a little bit of self-examination. To do that, we're going to look again at the book of James, but it's something that he wrote earlier in his letter. Take a look at James chapter 1, verse 1. This is in the International Standard Version. "Therefore, rid yourselves of everything impure and every expression of wickedness, and with a gentle spirit, welcome the word planted in you that can save your souls." Keep in mind that James is writing to believers. I think most would agree with that. If we wanted, we could actually have this verse like up on a slide to, you know, to start every time we were in God's word. Every time we had a sermon, we could put that slide up. Because this is a prepare your heart for God's word verse. And of course, you know, we should prepare our hearts for God's word in any context, if it's personal study, if it's a group Bible study, whatever it might be. We don't just prepare our hearts for God's words on this property, right? But we are to rid ourselves of everything immoral or evil, and then with a gentle spirit, welcome the word of God that God plants in us that is able to save our souls. So let me explain that just a little bit. The International Standard Version has, "with a gentle spirit," you likely have "in humility" or "humbly" or "with meekness." But like I said earlier, it's a form of this one New Testament word that we've been looking at this whole time. So this verse is talking about humility in action. But how interesting that it's not humility in action toward another human being, it's humility in action toward God and his word. So as we think about how we should be gentle, that also goes with how we treat God and treat his word. Amen? Okay. We have to come humbly to that. We have to come with meekness. We have to come with gentleness. Inner humility, then evidenced in action, and some of that action is to welcome the word that God plants in us. By the way, when this happens to use the expression and it says that can save your souls, this isn't talking about the idea of a person losing their salvation, then getting their salvation, then losing their salvation, then getting their salvation. This is also a help that we've talked about before when it comes to understanding the Psalms, right? That's not how salvation or being saved is being used here. This is simply referring to a Christian and how God wants to have an ongoing ministry of rescue in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay, God wants to have an ongoing ministry of rescue in our lives. He wants to be our Savior, not just rescuing us from hell at one time, but he wants to continue to save us, to rescue us from temptation, from situations, from other people, from ourselves. Does that make sense? So with a gentle spirit, we are to welcome the word that God plants in us. Okay, now let's start thinking about gentleness applied when it comes to other people. I will take away that magnifying glass. You can breathe a sigh of relief. First, we can say that generally speaking, we are to apply gentleness in our day-to-day interactions, right? Our day-to-day lives. So we have seen Ephesians 4:2, this is in the NIV, we saw it 2 weeks ago, be completely humble and gentle. And at that time we were focusing on the word humble, this time we're focusing on the word gentle. So we said that the context has to do with walking in a way, living day to day in a way that is worthy of God's calling on us. And then we are to be completely gentle is one specific way that we are to do that. So similar to that, we have Paul's exhortation to Titus. Believers shouldn't curse anyone. Amazing he needs to say that, right? But believers shouldn't curse anyone or be quarrelsome, but they should be gentle and show courtesy to everyone. That's Titus 3:2 in the God's Word translation. Be gentle and show courtesy to everyone. Now, when you think about those verses, like in Ephesians 4:2, and then this one here in Titus 3:2, they're like the Proverbs. And we're soon in the new year, we'll get into the Proverbs. So I'll say this again. The Proverbs aren't like a promise that every time something happens. Like the Proverbs, these are talking about general rules for life. So in general, we are to be gentle with how we treat others, our coworkers, our neighbors, our children, others in the church family, in the midst of long lines, in frustrating circumstances, when we're facing one difficulty after another. But since our gentleness flows out of the wisdom that God gives us, there will be times, like Jesus showed us, that our language is going to need to be more direct. It's going to be more confrontational. But we shouldn't make being pointed or confrontational our default. Okay, that's not an excuse for that being our default setting for dealing with people, much less being, you know, regularly rude or abusive or any of the other things that you all said earlier. So as we think about gentleness applied, we're now going to end with three particular cases. Those are the general things. We're to treat everybody in that way. But now let's think about three particular cases to end with that the New Testament points out. We saw the first one a few months ago. For those of you that were here when we were studying Galatians, this was Galatians 6:1 in the English Standard Version. Reads like this. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So even after receiving Christ, all of us still sin. But this verse is talking about who is caught up in a sin, which, you know, is implying that it's more than once. It's the idea that there is a particular pattern. There's a particular repetition. And in those cases, restore the brother or sister. Help them get back to where they ought to be. And do it with gentleness. So humility on the inside. You can see where that comes in with the latter part of that verse. Humility on the inside, put into action on the outside. And then we have an interesting application of gentleness in 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. In the NIV, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Now, we have to say that it's not just non-believers that need to repent, and certainly those that are born again can oppose one another, but I do think that this is talking about what we call big R repentance, right? The first time, the big repentance of salvation. So I think that this is talking about the treatment of non-believers that oppose the truths of Scripture. And I think 1 Peter 3:15 is somewhat similar to that. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect. So where it says defense, in the original language, that's where we get the word apologetics from. If you've ever heard of apologetics, basically it has to do with defending the Christian faith or defending the scriptures. So I believe that the defense that Peter's talking about is to non-Christians. So gentleness in two cases having to do with non-Christians. Sometimes opponents of religion in general or Christianity in particular, we heard the word aggressive before. Sometimes they can be pretty aggressive, pretty insulting. And we admit, it's hard for us to rein ourselves in those moments if we're the one that's being insulted or someone is being aggressive toward us. What flashed into my mind with regards to this was actually with a family member many, many years ago. We were at I can't remember if it was a birthday of my dad's dad or if it was their anniversary for their marriage, but we were at the country club that my grandparents belonged to, and the drinks flowed. Right? And my oldest sister, I'm the youngest of five, my oldest sister got into it with me, and then when the first couple years when I was a Christian, especially my brother, they made fun of my faith and all this stuff. By the way, this sister later in time ends up receiving Christ, which is a great thing. But at that time, she was standing like this. I'd say she's about yay high. She's standing this far away from me. I didn't just smell the alcohol in her breath. I was feeling her spittle hitting my face. That's how intense and aggressive she was. So what do you do in those moments? Only later did I find out that meanwhile, my older brother and my dad were watching this. And by God's grace, I was able to stay calm. So what do you do in those moments? Online, face to face, it could be really difficult in those moments. I think that's exactly the reason why the New Testament gives us these particulars, that when it comes to interacting with non-Christians, that we are to be gentle. We're going to sum it up this way this morning. Work with God, right? It's planted in us, so work with God on being gentle, especially ensnared by a sin, as well as those not yet saved. By God's empowering, we can do this. Let's close out our time in God's Word with a word of prayer. Father God, if this were just a small group, we would have an opportunity to maybe share when was a time where perhaps a non-Christian was really aggressive or really insulting with us. And we want to be able to defend. It's kind of funny, Father, that you give us that responsibility to defend you. This is really for our benefit, not yours, but to be able to defend the reason that we have hope within us and to be able to treat, even in those situations, in whatever kind of discussion, to treat that non-believer gently. And I think that will show them the Spirit of Christ in us much more. But Father God, you know, because the Lord Jesus showed us that there are times that we do need to take out that verbal 2x4. He smacked it between the eyes to try to get them to wake up, to realize what they were saying. I fully believe that he did that in love. But I pray, Father God, that even though there will be times where we need to be very direct with the people that we know, with family members, with kids, with coworkers, with neighbors, I pray, Father God, that we will really take hold of this general lesson that you want us to be able to live out the humility that's inside. And Father, if we have a problem with self-centeredness, if we have a problem with pride, I believe that your word's telling us we're going to have a problem with treating others with gentleness. So Father, help us in those areas too. And you know the circumstances that will make those things rise up more within us. We're not to be milquetoast. We're not to just let people walk all over us. But with humility in the inside and then gentleness being worked out on the outside through wisdom, we can work with your Spirit and glorify you in the midst of all that. Do this work in us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.